Dave Carter, Executive Director of the National Bison Association.
Dave, every time that I talk to you, you're trying to get producers, new producers, to be raising bison. What's the message and how has it changed?
It is that same message, just a little louder and stronger right now, because we are at a critical time of needing new production in our business. The Wall Street Journal a couple of months ago had a front page story in their business section talking about the need for more producers in the bison business. And we know, you know, a lot of the commodities are kind of struggling right now. Prices are soft, and we think this is a great opportunity, a great time for people to take a look across the fence at the bison business, because we're in a position right now that the growing demand for our product in the marketplace is to the point that we can't supply it. We simply cannot meet the consumer demand that's out there for bison without building our herds and getting more animals on the ground. So, you know, by comparison, we know that, you know, the beef market right now, the carcass price is about $1.60, hot hanging weight on the rail. Last month, our price was $4.65. And it's been about that level for the last 6 years. And so, you know, we just have the welcome mat out and the red carpet out for anybody that's interested in taking a look at bison.
And I know there's a lot more to it than this, but talk about what kind of a procedure it is for a person to get in the business of raising bison.
Well, if you've got livestock experience, it's really pretty easy, because you know, the bison your pasture needs are about the same as they are for cattle. The USDA recommends the same stocking rate as you would have for cattle. Your fencing, you have to have good fencing, but it doesn't have to be a Fort Knox. Good cattle fence with a top strand that's about 5 feet high will do just fine for bison. Your live animal prices, getting started, a bred heifer's going to run about 3,000, calves about 1,500. You can get a good bull for $4,000 or $5,000. You'll spend a little extra money on handling facilities. You need to have a good squeeze chute and good corrals, but you'll save that because you'll never build another loafing shed or a barn in your life. And that's really what it takes to get started. Our females, they don't calve until they're three, so you know they're a year later than cattle. But you'll make it up on the back end. They'll give you twice as many calves over the course of their life, so they're a good investment. You get a blizzard that flows through in the winter. You don't have to roll out of bed first thing in the morning to worry about hauling feed out. You know, they're adapt to that. Calving season is a great time to go fishing, because we haven't bred the animals to give calves bigger than Mother Nature intended. But we don't castrate, we don't AI, we don't brand, we don't dehorn. So, you know, they're a relatively low maintenance animal with a strong market demand.
You mentioned no more loafing sheds. This is an animal that likes the outdoors.
This is an animal that loves the outdoors. They never want to be indoors. And, you know, a couple years ago when we had that Arctic vortex roll through, I called up our producers that up in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, where it was 40 below that day. And I said, how are the animals doing? And she said, well, if I can see through the frost in my kitchen window, I'm looking out there and they're just having a great time. They're just doing fine out there. You know, there's really nothing that Mother Nature can throw at these animals that they haven't seen for the past couple thousand years. And our job is not to mess up the animal, just let them stay adapted to what Mother Nature has out there.
You said that demand is now higher than it's ever been. Is that because numbers are down, or is that because just demand for the meat has gone up that much?
Well, we're actually seeing some growth in the herds right now. And we've been fortunate that we've had good moisture across most of the growing areas in the last few years, so people have been able to build their herds. No, it's just the reality is that the consumer demand is going up. We're seeing major retail chains that now want bison in all of their stores from coast to coast. Chains like Kroger and Costco, even Walmart, are putting, you know, bison into their case. And when we're such a small business and you've got a big grocery chain that comes along and wants bison, or even we have pet food. I'm on the phone with pet food companies about once every 6 weeks wondering, you know, telling them why they can't get all the bison that they're looking for their pet food. You know, so we're just seeing that growing customer demand is driving our business right now.
And are we seeing a good consumer acceptance or a good dining experience with bison as we would with a premium cut of beef?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's our responsibility, because we know so many people that are tasting bison are tasting it for the first time. And if I go into a restaurant and I get a bad beefsteak, I blame it on the chef. I blame it on the restaurant. Because I've had a really excellent beefsteak before, and I know that the next one that I order will probably be a good one, even though I'm eating a bad one. You know, somebody's trying bison for the first time and it's a bad eating experience, they're going to say, I'll never eat this again. You know, buffalo is bad. And so it's our responsibility to make sure we're putting the right animals into the marketplace and working with the chefs and the like to make sure that when people take that first taste, they're going, wow, this is delicious. Where can I get some more?